Over the past couple of weeks, we've seen three different groups who have come to Jesus and they've asked Jesus some questions. And as we've seen that, we've noted that the reason why they asked Jesus those questions was that they hoped to trap him in his words, somehow make him look foolish, somehow bring him down. Well, as we continue in Mark 12 today, we come upon an individual who also asked Jesus a question. And though we don't know the man's heart, we don't know his intent for asking his question, it seems like he was pretty sincere, that he just simply wanted to know the answer to the question, as opposed to those other groups who had a hidden agenda there. Well, we pick it up today in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And just a little background on this man. He was a teacher of the law, and from Matthew's gospel, we know that he also belonged to the Pharisees. And we talked about the Pharisees a couple weeks ago. It says Mark, in Mark 12, 28, says, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?' 'The most important one,' answered Jesus, 'is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.' 'Well said, teacher,' the man replied. 'You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions." Well, as we come upon another question that hits the ears of Jesus, just a little background into what's going on here. In this day, one of the questions that was debated among many of the religious leaders was this: which is the greatest commandment or the most important commandment? This very same question that this man here asked. And there were two schools of thought back in that day. And one group thought this, that there was this highest, this greatest command that you could know and that you should seek after and that you should follow, an all-important command. There was another group who said, no, we need to see all the commands as equal. You don't want to pit one against the other. That's not a good idea to distinguish between all the commands of God. And so this question, is there really a greatest commandment, was on the minds of many of the religious people in that day. And so this man, seeing that Jesus did such a great job at answering the Sadducees in last week's passage, he says, "Hey, Jesus, what do you think? What's the greatest commandment?" And how does Jesus reply there? Well, it begins by quoting what's called the Shema. And the Shema comes from the Hebrew word to hear. And the Shema is straight out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And Jesus quotes the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 6 when he says this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." But notice Jesus doesn't stop there, does he? Because the question was, what is the greatest one? What is the greatest one? And Jesus goes on to give another, doesn't he? He says, the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus, by his reply, is saying this: you know what? Stop arguing like you do about what the greatest commandment is. Because if you truly love God, then you know what? You will obey all those other aspects of the law that you seem to quibble and quibble about. So don't worry about that. Love God with everything you have. And also love your neighbor. Well, today I want to focus on the first part of what Jesus says, the greatest commandment, which is to love God with everything we have. Next week I want us to focus on loving our neighbor and what that means. And though we're going to split it up into 2 weeks, it's important that we see a great link, a strong link between these two commandments that Jesus gives to these people this day. Well, first off, what does it mean to love the Lord? What does that mean? If we go back to verse 29, I believe it begins by what Jesus says to the people. He says, "Hear, O Israel." Jesus is saying, people, listen to the voice of God. Listen to God. That's where it begins. You see, the truth is, we will never get to know God if we never listen to God. And if we don't truly know God, then how can we ever really love Him if we don't know who He is, right? We need to know Him before we can truly love Him. A word that you find in many of the words of the prophets, and we've been going through Hosea in Sunday school, and Dan has been driving this home, is that the prophets would come and they would say, "Hey, listen, wake up." They would sound the trumpet and tell the people of God, "You're straying from God. You need to get back on course. Pay attention. Listen." And so as you read your Old Testament, especially the books of the prophets, take note of all the times that the prophets say, "Listen, hear, O Israel." So important that they hear. Well, how about us? Are we listening to God? You may say, "Yeah, I read my Bible. I got this nice journal, this new one. It's really cool. Check it out. I pray to God." Yeah, I do. I didn't ask you if you were reading and if you were talking to God. I said, are you listening to God? Am I listening? Am I listening to God? Perhaps some of you have seen that commercial, I think it was last year, maybe a couple years ago, where there's a man who's sitting on his couch and the wife is kind of giving him an earful. I'm not sure if you've ever seen that or not, but, and you know, people are wondering how this man is able to do this and not be fazed by his wife that is speaking into his ear. And then the scene flashes to this same man, and he's in a uniform, a referee uniform, and he's on the sidelines, and there's this football coach who's just, you know, going at his ear, and he's not fazed at all by that. And so that's how he does it. Now, some of you may chuckle at that. Some of you may not chuckle at that. You may not like that commercial too much. But we may chuckle at that, but you know what? How about us? Do we do the same thing with God? You know, we've got our agenda. We've got the things that we like to do. We want the things that we're going to do, things that we want to do. And sometimes we can just ignore the voice of God. We can nod, and all the while, you know, God is doing this in our ear and we miss His voice. If I were to ask you, how does God speak to us today? I think most of you would quickly reply, right here. The Bible, right? This is how God speaks to us. This is how we hear from God. And we all know that, don't we? We know that. But all too often, these words don't always translate into a life that is lived out. And sometimes we come to the Word of God like we do a potluck luncheon. We're going to have one in a couple weeks. But you know how you approach those potluck luncheons, right? You come up to some stuff and you say, "Hey, that looks good. I think I'll try some of that. That stuff there, I really don't know what that is. I think I'll skip that for today. This stuff here, this looks like it'd be really, really good for me. But you know what? I'm just really not in the mood today for that kind of food. So I'll just skip that." Do we approach the Word of God the same way? In other words, this verse is really cool. Ooh, I love this verse. Yeah, this is mine. I'm going to own it. That one there, well, I don't know if I'm really in the mood for listening to that today or obeying what that has to say. Do we do the same thing? We sing that song, Ancient Words. We sang it last week. Beautiful words. It says, "Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with what? Open. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words what? Impart." What are we saying when we sing that song? God, I just want my heart to be open to what your word has to say to me today. So God, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to come under your word. And God, speak to my heart. Change me today. Well, James gives us some very sobering words in James chapter 1. When we think about listening to God and obeying him, James 1 verses 22 through 25 says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." The concept behind what James is speaking here is the same thing that Jesus teaches on the Sermon on the Mount when he speaks about the wise man and the foolish man. And those of you who grew up in Sunday school, can you remember that one, right? The wise man built his house upon the rock, right? The foolish man built his house upon the sand, right? And the difference between the wise man and the foolish man is this. It is not that the wise man had lots of Bible knowledge. It's not that the wise man knew the word and knew where every verse was and could quote scripture, and the foolish man was ignorant of the Bible. That's not the difference. They both heard the word of God, but one of them put the word into practice. The other did not put the word of God into practice. That was the difference. And one of the dangers, and I say this often, as we grow older in the faith, is that we can become colder in our hearts. We always need to be wary that our hearts can become hard toward the things of God, toward the Word of God. We can get to a place where we say, oh yeah, I've heard that verse before, been there, done that. And what we do is we make Christianity simply a list of do's and don'ts that we check off. Oh yeah, love is patient. I did that once. Love is kind. I did that back in 1999. I was kind to this one lady. Did that one. I've done it all. I mean, what's left to do? The question is not what have we done, but are we doing it right now? Because the Word of God is what? Living and active. It is life for our souls today. And today we need to be enriched and nourished by the Word of God. And as I stand before you today, please don't think that I got it all wrapped up, that I got it all together. Because those who need to be most cautious of becoming deaf to the voice of God and to the Word of God are people like me who stand and preach and teach and tell others about the things of God. Why is that? Because I spend so much time telling you guys how you need to live your life, right? And I can miss the voice of God. I can stop appropriating the Word of God to my own life and applying it and hearing from God and His Word. And so we need to be sure that we are truly listening as well, or we will quickly become like that foolish man that Jesus spoke of who built his life upon the sand. Well, truly listening is step one, and doing what we should, what we've been talking about here, is step number two. And doing what we ought to do is simply called what? Obedience, right? It's obeying God. Jesus said this in John 14:23. He said, "If anyone loves me, he will do what? He will obey my teaching." And then he went on to say this, "My Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him." That's such a sweet verse when you think about it. Because what Jesus is saying is that obedience is not some cold, formal act that we do. Not like, yeah, I'm a Christian, so I had to do that. That's what the Bible told me to do, so I'm going to suck it up and do it. Is that what obedience is really about here? Is this what Jesus is communicating? If so, where's the whole father-son home thing going on within us, if that's our attitude? Where is the sweet communion that ought to exist between us and God in true obedience? Where is the sweet fellowship if we're always crinkling our nose and saying, you know, I just did that because I had to do it? The truth is, we can do the right thing and we can be hard-hearted on the inside. And what God wants is a heartfelt obedience. He wants it to come from the heart, from the inside. We need to really want to do what we do. Jesus said this. He said, "When you obey, my joy is in you, and your joy will be complete." Remember that old hymn many of you used to sing, trust and obey, right? For there's no other way to be what? Happy, to be joyful in Jesus, but to trust and obey. That's simply what Jesus communicated. Hey, you want joy? Then simply trust and obey the things that I have to say. And the truth is this, if there is not joy before, during, or after, then we need to ask ourselves, am I really truly obeying God? Or am I just on the outside a form of obedience and not a heartfelt obedience if we don't really want to obey? Now you say, what are you saying, Pastor? You mean if you don't feel like obeying, then you shouldn't obey? No, I'm not saying that. We always need to seek to obey. But there ought to be some sense of joy that comes from obedience. That's what Jesus said. Listen to what the prophet Samuel once said to King Saul in 1 Samuel 15, 22. Samuel had to rebuke Saul, and he said, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed, which is to what? To listen, is better than the fat of rams. Well, what was going on there? Many of you know the story, 1 Samuel 15. I'm not going to go over that whole account. But basically what happened there is God had told Saul to do something specific. And Saul did part of it, but then he put his own twist on it, and he did what he thought was best. It was as if Saul said, you know, I'll do what you say there, God, a little bit, but I got this really good idea. And this may even make you even more happier, God, the way I'm going to plan this thing out. God said, no, I just want you to do what I say. Plain and simple. Just do what I say. That's what's going to make me happy. That's what's going to please me. And though it's easy to point our finger at men like Saul who came up with their own idea of what obedience was, you know, how often can we do the very same thing? Right, we know what God says, we'll do part of it, but then we'll put our twist on it, put our own, suit our own fancies, and really not do what he says, and somehow think that that is better than what he's required. What does it mean to love God? It means to, number one, listen. It means to obey. And it means to obey from the heart. Again, Jesus said, what? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. What Jesus was saying there was this, love God with everything you have. And we can kind of split up all those things and look at them individually, but what Jesus is saying is, love God with your whole being. You may have an IQ that's off the charts. Love God with that mind that he's given you. To much is given, much will be required. Maybe you don't have an IQ that's off the chart. Love God with the mind that he's given you. With the ability that he's given you, love him with that ability. Love him with everything that you have. That's what he requires of us. That's what he would want of us. In other words, don't hold anything back when it comes to obedience. And yet, how often is there fear and uncertainty in our lives when it comes to doing the things that God would have us do? Sometimes we can forget that God is good. We forget the joy that ought to come from heartfelt obedience. And so what we do is we tiptoe rather than run. What do you mean, tiptoe rather than run? I mean this, is that we're so afraid that if we obey God, then maybe something weird's going to happen to me. So I'll just kind of tiptoe through his commands, as opposed to running in his commands, because I know that God is good. And when I obey his commands, it is for my spiritual benefit. And so I'm going to trust in God. I love what Psalm 119 says, verse 32. And if you've never read Psalm 119, please read that. It's a very long chapter, but it will direct your heart back to the words of God and the commands of God. The psalmist says this, I run in the paths of your commands, for you have set my heart free, or you have enlarged my heart. What is the psalmist saying? He's saying, God, I completely trust you. I know that your commands are good. I know that you are perfect, that you're holy. And what you command is for my spiritual benefit. Therefore, I'm going to run in the path of your commands. That's where I'm going to run. I'm going to run with everything I have. I believe what Romans 8:28 says, that God works out what all things for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so we're going to trust, we're going to run in his commands. To run in his commands means this, that we abandon our will. We abandon our will, we stop running our race, and we say, God, I'm going to run in your race. That means this, if I'm going to run in your race, God, I'm not going to worry about falling down. Because God, I know that whenever I fall, every time I fall, what's going to happen? God is going to do what? He's going to pick me up. That's what the Bible says. God, that means I'm not going to worry that I'm going to get so thirsty that I'm going to faint and collapse. Because God is going to give you that spiritual, quench your spiritual thirst that you need. I'm not going to worry that I'm going to DNF. You know what a DNF is, right? You guys who run, what's a DNF? Do not finish, right? Yeah. Well, yeah, you learned something today. You can go home and say, hey, don't. DNF means you didn't finish. Didn't finish the race. As Christians, we don't have to worry about that. Why? Because he who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. We know that God is the author of our faith and he is the finisher of our faith as well. So we can rest in God in this thing called the Christian race because God is a faithful God. Well, as we look at this passage again, what do we find Jesus telling this man? The man comes to Jesus. After his question, he says, good job, teach you. Right on. You did a good job answering that question. Not that Jesus needed any approval on that. But this is what the man did. And so then Jesus does what? He says to the man what? You're not far off from the kingdom of God. Why did he say that? Why didn't he say, you're in? Because to love God with everything, and that's what it's all about. Why? Because there's a difference between knowing in our head that we ought to love God and believing it in our heart so that we actually do love God through our actions. And so this man would have to demonstrate his love for God eventually. And who knows how much he knew of Christ from this point on. I imagine he did. He was a Pharisee. They knew what Jesus was doing. He would eventually know that Jesus would be crucified. And he knew that Jesus would rise again. And so this man would have to put his faith and his trust in Jesus Christ. And that would be a demonstration that he was loving God with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And no matter how righteous this man was, he was a Pharisee, which means he was a very moral man. And no matter how much he loved his neighbor, this man still fell short of the glory of God. This man still had sin that needed to be covered in his life. And so the only way that his sin could be covered, the only way that our sin can be covered is how? Through the death, through the blood of Jesus Christ and believing in him, and believing in him and his resurrection. You see, to reject Christ, which is to reject God's grace, which is to reject the gift of God. Jesus is God's love gift to us. When we reject that, what are we doing? We're really saying, God, I really don't love you. Because if we love God, then we will obey him, and to obey him is to trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. So I ask you, have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Can you say today, yes, I love God? Is it just here or is it in your heart to the point that it has transformed your life so that you just don't say, yeah, I love God, but I follow Jesus Christ. I love Jesus Christ and I know what he did for me. He is my life. He is my hope. He is my all in all. Have you done that? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? And if you have, if you know him, then are you loving him by obeying him? Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, because without your grace, Lord, we'd all be lost and hellbound for eternity. And God, we thank you so much that you sent your Son to be that perfect sacrifice so that we could be forgiven. And Lord, help us to not only love you with our tongues, but Lord, to love you by living the life. Lord, as we've sung, we just simply want to live for you. Father, help us not to compare ourselves with each other, but always go back to your word and see what your word says for us to do. Help us to follow Jesus and his example, and help us to bring you glory. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.